Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast. Victoria.
Sorry. Hi, Hannah.
That just caused me to implode.
That's so funny every time.
It's because I never get the podcast intonation right. Just like a normal person.
Hello, Hannah.
How you doing?
I'm okay. My house and garden is blanketed in snow. It's a very Christmassy scene outside my house. We had snow overnight.
Cute. It's adorable.
I have, as you all know, I have a cat called Samosa, but she is a Siberian cat. So this is her like dream life. Like she is literally built for this.
Oh.
So she's out there running around in it, like not getting cold.
Oh,
like
that's so
with her
cute.
Little, she's got like her paws are all like, they're not like normal cat, well they are like normal cat paws, but her fur goes all over them so she can walk in the snow.
Oh wow.
And so
that's amazing.
She's getting to use her you know what she was built for.
Doug, on the other hand, I'm wondering if like he should be joining the, there's a lot of, you know, interesting dog jumpers and jackets going around. It's like a,
of course,
it's like a thing. I think it's maybe like a slight competitive thing of like, my dog's jacket is nicer than yours. Doug doesn't have a jacket because I think that he's a dog and he's fine. And, you know, but maybe I need to, yeah, make him more stylish. I don't know.
When I was looking for a present for Doug, I went into Barber and they have a range of dog jackets.
You are a better friend than me.
No, I mean, I walk, this is the place where I walk straight out because it was like, no, this isn't the place for me. I was like, I don't have a Barber jacket, so I don't think that I should be buying one for my friend's dogs.
Your dog nephew.
But there was a very, it had a very large dog section, if that's, wow. You know.
And what about small dogs? what you been thinking about doing? Considering,
well, we are so close to Christmas, mm-hmm. and you know, I've woken up into a bloody Christmas card this morning, so I've been thinking obviously about a lot of Christmas food and like food as gifts, mm-hmm. and I like seeing all the content this year, like this time of year, right? Mm-hmm. Like I know that it's like people, you know, they're just doing it for content or whatever, but I love it. I love the content.
It's so wholesome. It's you love it, you is. You know, this is straight out of that, you know, that terrible TV show that you watch, the American one, the you know the one, there's a side
Chesapeake
to you
Shores,
we've discussed it before, but you know, you're very normally quite a,
I'm a romantic, yeah, I think,
yeah,
at heart,
exactly.
I started watching, this isn't what I'm going to talk about, but I started watching the Harry and Meghan thing last night, and I don't want to get into that at all.
No.
Have you watched it?
No, nothing. Nothing. None of it.
No thanks.
No, I said no.
Oh, I thought you said no thanks. I was like, oh, okay.
No, I'm here for it. I want.
And I cried because they're just so in love, and it just all makes me sad.
Wow. This is the first positive I'm hearing of it. Everyone else is
because everybody all over in this country is a horrible, skeptical little gremlin.
Wow.
Who hates Meghan Markle for some reason because she dared to. Well, we know why people hate her, but otherwise, then because she dared to fall in love with Prince Harry and, you know, quote, take him away from something that he's very clearly unhappy with in the first place. Anyway, so I've been thinking about Christmas food and gifts. And you know what I see a lot from American, like, content
people,
creators, and also, like, sometimes, like, Bon Appetit, the New York Times, I saw Half Baked Harvest did this as well, talking about, like, cookie boxes, holiday cookie boxes.
What are they? Like, the Girl Scouts sell?
No, they're like a box of cookies, but they're all, like, a range of different cookies that you home make, and they're, like, you know, and so it's, like, a thing about, like, well, what cookies are going in my cookie box? This all sounds like a euphemism, but it's not. Yeah. And so I was thinking, like, what would I put in my cookie box if I was going to gift it, that fucking verb again, that's not a verb. If I was going to give it to someone as a gift, what would I want in my cookie box? And question to the people that know about cookie boxes, does it always have to be cookies? Can there be little mini snack cakes in there?
Yeah.
Or does it have to be cookies?
That's a good question. So how many are we talking about? How many varieties of cookie are going in the cookie box?
I want to say like 5 or 6.
Jesus.
Let me just get like half.
That's a lot of work.
Well,
I'm opposed to work.
People love.
I'm fundamentally opposed to work.
But you are not opposed to
cookies.
Baking.
Cookies.
Yes. Let me find old Half-Baked Harvest's one. She has 4.9 million followers.
Oh,
my
shit.
God.
Can't relate.
Look at this KitchenAid. Anyway, look. Listen.
Look.
So look, here's hers. Linking all the cookie recipes I included this year.
Jesus Christ, we're looking at a whole range. It looks like a selection box of
cookies
that you would get. Or like ones that you buy and like, oh wow, little Santas. Okay.
Holly Jolly Santa cookies. So
do these people have full-time jobs and children and or dogs?
Well, it looked like 6 is what I counted there, 6. Well, her full-time job is obviously to be... But no, I think it's just like a gifting thing.
Okay.
What would be the cookbook circle box?
Oh, what would be the cookbook circle box? Okay.
I guess.
What about... definitely the ones that we served at the supper club, right? The Dory Greenspan, Malty...
Yes.
Are they the Malty ones? No, they weren't the Malty ones. They were
No, I did the Malty ones.
Yeah, they were the peanut butter
like
ones.
Peanut butter, oat, chocolate.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Did I tell you that I've had the best peanut butter cookie of my life recently?
I think you did, but tell us all.
It's Crystal's Cookies in Crystal Palace. And it's this guy that just like sets a little stand at the end of his path and sells them just out in front of his house, which is obviously fucking adorable. But then he does...
And illegal.
I don't know. I'm not like dobbing him into the council. But he, these peanut butter cookies, they have like Reese's Pieces in them and peanut butter, I think. Ooh. And it's just, oh my God, absolutely insane. So anyone in Southeast London, I would highly recommend going to Crystal Cookie.
Would you put them in the box? Or have we got too much peanut butter already?
Yeah, maybe. I think we should be making them, right? We're not outsourcing them to Crystal.
Probably.
Maybe Alison Roman's chocolate chunk shortbread thing. That could be a good one.
I feel like they're the best.
The thing is, a lot of the cookies that I like have like a chocolate chunk in them. Maybe. So maybe there'd be like a lot of similarities.
But everybody likes a chocolate chip cookie, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
How do you feel about like a I think we would just call it a biscuit, but I think like Americans call them like sugar cookies.
Oh yeah,
like just a plain biscuit.
Not massively for me. It's a bit dull. It's lacking in flavor, like a graham cracker. A graham cracker. Graham.
A graham.
A cracker. Graham cracker.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone loves a chocolate digestive, right? But obviously, I'm not making those.
No. You know, it's been 9 minutes of recording and I haven't mentioned Arthur Lenghi yet. So I'm going to say his...
Oh, yes.
Those Christmas gingerbread cookie things in sweet are insane. So they would definitely go in. And a great gift because they keep really well for like a few days. This is the thing as well. If you're making a cookie box, that would they not go? You need to pick hardier cookies that aren't going to be too soft. Any other contenders?
Do I have any? Well, we just came up with a recipe, didn't we, for something we're doing? This sounds like spooky and like not spooky. Doesn't sound spooky. It sounds like, you know, weird and like we can't tell you, but we can't. But we will share it eventually.
Yes.
And I feel like I would put those on. They're like a shortbread with various flavours in.
Yeah, shortbread's good.
And they're hardy and delicious.
Yeah.
But we've already got Alison's shortbread.
True. See, this is what I mean when it comes to biscuits. Not a ton of variation.
I feel like the problem is with what we've chosen is those Dory Greenspan ones, they hit all the cookie buttons
in one cookie. Yes, we just need to give one box of Dory Greenspan. Maybe you could have like a kind of an Anzac-y oaty vibe in there. I used to make a lot
of that's Anzacs. A good idea.
Yeah, they would be good.
I love an Anzac biscuit.
They're like a flapjack's little sister. Little round sister.
Yeah,
I think little cake bits in there of a time. I'm sure people were throwing cake pops into their cookie boxes as well. Obviously I'd put a Madeleine in because they're my thing. I'm not going to be doing a cookie box for anyone this year because I don't have time. I feel like I'm literally avalanching into Christmas, like falling down a hill and like crashing into Christmas. So there will be no cookie boxes from Hannah Quinn this year. Sorry.
No, me. I want to do some food. Anyway, I want to do something foodie, but I just think about it and think about it and think about it. But
I never do.
Anyway.
We've got 2 weeks.
So cookie boxes... We've got 2 weeks. I've only got a child's first birthday party to plan and bake for in that time.
Yeah, no big deal.
It's fine.
Any child or any particular one or just a random?
Just this guy I know. Seems to live in my house a lot.
Leave a path of
on me quite a lot of the time. It's just always pulling up my hair.
Oh, but he's so cute.
He is really
cute. I feel like cookie boxes are nice and relevant for the person that we're talking about today.
I think so too. I wonder if she does a cookie. Probably. She seems perfect.
So, we're talking about Claire Saffitz today. Yes. I'm very excited for this. Another Bon Appetit person. So previously we've spoken about Alison Roman and Molly Baz, who...
Bolly Mass.
Bad name. Who are also kind of Bon Appetit alumni. But yeah, let me tell you about Claire. So she was born in St. Louis in Missouri. Oh. My old stomping ground. Not true. I just did a few months there and it wasn't St. Louis.
It is St. Louis, right? I always get like, I go to say this, I'm like, is it Louis? It's Louis.
It is Louis, I think. But you know, Louis's fun and a great pet name, I think. So her great grandfather emigrated to the US from what's now Ukraine in like the early 1900s and he was a baker. How fun is that?
So
she's got like food in her family. So she went to Harvard, which is very impressive. And I found this, like, when I was researching her, I found this paper on that she's written online. I don't think it was for Harvard, but it's like Constructing the Politics of Cookery, Authorial Strategy and Domestic Politics in English Cookery Books, 1655 to 1670. So...
And this... is what Hannah will be reading for the rest of the podcast.
But like, she's smart, man. She's like really, really smart and really
an academic queen.
She's such an academic. So she went to, yeah, she went to Harvard. She studied US history and literature, graduated in 2009, whatever. And then she went to Paris and she studied at Ferrandi, which is the, like, one of the big culinary pastry schools there. And it's that one, I think, well, I didn't know it at the time when I was there, but I think actually Ferrandi is like the most respected one, or like it's like
right.
for in the industry or whatever, it's really well known. And she, yeah, she talks about how she, you know, just loves studying and she's very academically driven. She, when she was a kid, she was really overly studious and really serious. For a while, she thought she'd work in museums. So her first job after college was an internship at the 9/11 museum, but she didn't want to do that. So that's when she signed up for culinary school. And then she went to graduate school after that.
In Paris?
No, at McGill. And she did a master's degree.
The Harvard of Canada. I learned that from The Simpsons.
That's nice. That's good context. She did a master's in history there with a focus on French culinary history in the early modern era. So the, yeah, she's just very smart. And then she realized kind of that during this that she would rather be cooking than learning about it. So she got the opportunity to work. I find this very funny when it's like, I got the opportunity to work at the BA test kitchen. And you're like, what is this? Where do I find these opportunities?
Like how?
I want to do it. Yeah, does it give me someone's email address? I also want this opportunity. So,
like, what was she doing in like Canada, like Toronto or wherever McGill is? And then she's suddenly in New York at the BA test kitchen.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a gap in my research, but here we go. Here
no, just I'm not saying that that's not for you. I just wonder, like,
I don't,
how does that?
Yeah,
how does that happen?
Anyway, I don't know.
I got this opportunity. You didn't just walk into. You didn't bump into Alison Roman or, you know, what's his face?
Adam anyway. Rappaport, whatever his name is. Boo.
Rappaport.
Is it?
Boo. Great name, though.
Yeah, great name. So yes, yeah, so she was a cross tester there, which is basically when you get the recipe when someone else has developed the recipe. And it's gone through kind of tasting and testing and signed off and approved. And then it goes to this cross tester, which was her, to like really stress test the recipe, I guess, and call out anything that was unclear or if it just didn't work. So she said that was, yeah, what a cool job. Like, honestly, I've read about those jobs before that for people, like every kind of cookbook or every recipe writer has like a team of those, I think, and they could be anywhere. I think I've read about like Ottolenghi again having one, like someone in Wales who like he just sends them.
Yeah, he just has this like these like remote people who like cook his test recipes.
Fucking dream job, honestly. I just love it. You know, we've talked about this, right, when we've been doing this recipe development for Stolen Stitches. It's like, it's so much fun. It's just
It is really fun.
So she loves it too. So she was saying that she was kind of starting with an idea of what she wanted something to be, and then she'd go back and do the research and like look at different books and Julia Child and stuff, and then she'd kind of put together her own version. And she just realized that naturally she was just following the kind of classic recipe development process. And so she did a trial where she cooked some of her own recipes for BA. And they let her do that for a month, and then that just kept going and spiraling. So they loved it, basically. And she got an assistant food editor job, and then assistant editor, and then associate editor, and then senior associate editor, and then senior food editor. So she was in the test kitchen for 5 years.
Wow.
And then they decided that they really wanted to focus on video, which, yeah, is, I think we've kind of touched on that before. There's a lot of, like, test kitchen stuff on YouTube or whatever. So they wanted to do this Gourmet Makes series, which was kind of making homemade versions of like classic like junk foods or like sweets or whatever. So the first one was a Twinkie, which is something that I still don't think I've ever eaten a Twinkie in my life, but it's like,
they're disgusting.
Are they really sweet?
They are, yeah, so sweet. Like, they don't, they're just sweet. That's all they taste like, sweet. And they have like the creamy middle, right? Someone brought them into work one day at one of my works, and I was like,
yeah,
not my jam.
American listeners, again, you know, another question for you. Tell us what's the charm of a Twinkie? Is it just like a childhood thing that you, I don't know, nostalgic, whatever?
Yeah, is it like a mini roll for us or something? Yeah. Like a Cadbury's, you know, like a Rocky bar or something? I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. So then they kept going and they were doing like Cheetos and Kit Kats and Oreos. She said the Oreo one was really fun. I've homemade Oreos before as well, and that is they're really fun. The homemade Oreos are nearly better than classic ones.
Yeah, I bet.
So she was doing that for a long time, and I think she became like a bit of a darling during that time, right? Like that whole series of gourmet makes had such a cult following and the views were insane. I hadn't heard of it, but I was working as a pastry chef at the time in Brunswick East. And I remember this girl I worked with, Hannah, was like, have you seen Claire Saffitz? And she was obsessed with her. And I hadn't, I think that whole period just passed me by because I'm just not much of a YouTube person. I'm just not much of a video watcher.
Yeah, me either.
I'm a bit shit at it. Maybe like no longer than 30 seconds. I just have no attention span.
Stephen's always like, oh, did you see this on YouTube or did you want no. Or if I'm like trying to find something out, he's like, just watch a video about it on YouTube.
No.
I don't have the time or energy for that.
So then they launched Bon Appetit, launched two new series that featured her, Bon Appetit's Baking School and Making Perfect. And yeah, she just got really big. She's been on like Jimmy Fallon and stuff like that. She's I think she's like one of the best known American kind of baking stars.
Yeah. But
she left Bon Appetit, as all these stories go. Everyone leaves Bon Appetit when it's revealed that, you know, its leadership are shitty people, basically. So there was that whole, the guy Adam Rappaport, he resigned as editor-in-chief after this photo of him in brown face resurfaced online. And then there was that whole thing of that Reply All was exposing of, you know, not treating employees of color fairly and shitty pay, etc.,
paying them fairly.
We've been through it all before. It's very draining and very frustrating. But so she left. Then she said that she hadn't been under contract with the company since May 2020 and that she would reevaluate her relationship, and so in October 2020 she formally announced that she wasn't going to renew. And she's been off doing her own thing since then. So that's when she was working on this book that we're talking about today, which is Dessert Person, Recipes and Guidance for Baking with Confidence. So that came out in October 2020, actually. So around that time that she was leaving Bon App. And it became a New York Times bestseller and debuted at number 2 on their like best-selling list. And it's won loads of awards. In December 2020, she launched her own YouTube channel. So it was kind of focusing on this book and demonstrating recipes from this. And then she started contributing to New York Times Cooking in January 2021. And yeah, she's
as the story goes.
Yeah.
That is a classic trajectory.
It really is. And then her second book, What's for Dessert? Simple Recipes for Dessert People, was released just last month, actually, November 8th. And it's become an instant bestseller as well. But she's huge, right? She had that, like, you know, that Emma Chamberlain social media influencer gal. She was on her YouTube channel. I feel like she's across generational appeal, but it. She lives in New York with her husband, who's also a chef. They live in the Upper West Side. I wish I knew more about like New York neighborhoods and what the Brooklyn's the like classically hipster one, right? That everyone talks about.
Yeah. But
beyond that, I feel like I don't know. Is Upper East Side really fancy? Because that was in Gossip Girl.
Yeah, I think so. That's all I know from Gossip Girl.
And apparently they also own a cabin in upstate New York, which is pretty pumpkin spice latte idyllic. So that's Claire. But this book, what were your first impressions? It's huge.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
It's huge. I was not expecting it to be as big, like, tall wise. It's much bigger. I don't know
what
why.
People say
it's,
about again, me this when whole, they like, meet no me standardized.
It really is. But this is the whole no standardized paper size thing, right?
Yeah.
But also, it's so much thicker.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it's just like recently we've been doing, you know, we went through a stage of doing so many tomes.
Yeah.
And this isn't that I wouldn't give this one tome status, but it is a lot. There's a lot much more. Wow. in it than I expected, yeah. And it's just beautiful. There's beautiful photography. Yeah. Well, should we talk a little bit about the structure of it? Because it's really good. We talked a little bit at the end of last episode, right, about this matrix that she has.
The matrix is so good. So one of the axes is difficulty, and then the other axis is time. So going from 5 minutes straight up to 12 hours. And then it maps all... surely it's not all the recipes, is it? Because they couldn't all fit, but it's... where are they kind of...
Is it all of them?
Maybe. Mm. It just basically... So if you don't have time and you just want it to be easy, you can just go straight to that bottom left of the graph. But otherwise, if you want like a project, like spelt croissants, that's right at the top right because it takes over 12 hours and it's like a 5 difficulty. But it's genius. It's honestly genius because when I was looking for something to bake... I just had a couple of hours, or like an hour or something, and I was like, shit, what can I do? And just, yeah, this helped massively. It's just very, very inspiring.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Love that.
I think also if you see something, like at the beginning of each recipe, she also, there's like a little guide at the top. It says, what season is that recipe relevant for? How long is the active time? How long is the total time? And the difficulty, and then any other notes, for example, dairy-free, vegan, etc.
Yeah.
So you know the difficulty based on that, but you can then go back to the recipe matrix. And then on a page further on, she has like an explanation of what she thinks, you know, why she thinks it's like that. So it's on page 18. Very easy, easy, moderate, challenging, very challenging.
Yeah.
And in some of them, she'll explain why, it'd be difficulty 4, but only because of this one bit.
Yeah.
Of the recipe.
Which is smart. Did you read that bit in the intro when she says this book is a defense of baking?
Yes.
And that she hears people say, I'm a cook, but I'm not a baker, as if they're completely separate. People do say that a lot.
I say that all the time.
But she's arguing that that's not the case. Like, they're closer than you think. She thinks it's just because baking poses a particular challenge, unlike cooking, where you can just kind of, you can make adjustments as you go. Baking's less forgiving. But she's basically saying, it's okay. Just, like, come with me, learn. Each of the recipes is really carefully written. And she's got notes to explain everything. And... yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I also really like, in the beginning, there's this like techniques and end points. So she talks about like really what you think could be simple things, but it's really good. Like how to fill a pastry bag, how to line a round cake tin, how to brown butter, which I thought was brilliant. And she's got like a picture talking about meringues and stuff. And it's not, they're literally just like one picture for each.
Yeah. Which is great.
And a little bit of what's noted. And she also says that throughout the book, she'll put rough timings, but also, you know, what to look out for as your like end point, rather than take it out the oven after 25 minutes. So you can learn
the signs.
How something is finished
Which is the biggest thing in baking, I think. Because like when I my token mention of being a pastry school, but like the chefs would get really angry because people would be taking notes furiously when they were demonstrating a recipe, and they'd be like, everyone would be like, how long is that in the oven for? Like, how long do you bake a certain thing for? And the chefs would be like, it's going to be about 10 minutes, whatever, or 20 minutes. But that's not, you can't go by the clock. You need to look out for if it's like golden or puffed up or like, you know, coming away from the sides or whatever. And I think that's what freaks people out about baking, right? Is that like something could say 20 minutes, but we know that it's based on your oven or your ingredients or whatever.
Yes.
And so I think that that was so good in all of her recipes. At the end, she's like, you know, you'll know it's done because it looks like this. And that's exactly what people need to hear. Love it.
Which is great also for the bread stuff and the,
yes.
The stuff where there's a dough and you're proving stuff, like because I make something that's bready, spoiler alert. Ooh. And she talks about how when you touch it, how it will feel and how it will spring back, and it will feel the dough will like touch your finger, or you know, like all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Which is, I guess, how it lends itself really well to video as well.
Yes, she has these little notes at the bottom of every recipe, which is great. Like, do ahead how long everything will keep for. And kind of any substitutions. Yes. I guess every cookbook has a form of these. Like they're like Nira Soda's notes or whatever. But I think they're just really useful as well. Like substitutions for spices and things like that. My God, I did crack me up that there was a little bit like salty as the summer sea. The salty as the summer sea of this is the diamond crystal kosher salt.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God, every recipe.
Do you think she's sponsored by them or something? It's ridiculous.
Maybe.
Spoiler again, I didn't read what that was. She has a bit in the intro about what that was, and I used Malden as a sub for the kosher salt, which was a mistake. I think I should have been using like table salt. But anyway, we learn. She's a fan. She's a fan of the diamond.
Yeah, it's like it's the only thing that has like a brand that she works exactly. There, right? Like it's so strange.
But people are picky about their salt.
Yeah, but you know, fair play. If you're going to be picky about anything, maybe is it salt? I feel like Samin Nosrat not fussy about her salt. Mm. It's mixed signals, guys. Do you know what I found about this book that I wanted to share with everyone? There is a subreddit on reddit.com just for this book. So it's just Claire Saffitt's fans like baking things from there. A lot of people like bake their way through it.
How fun.
And they post their pictures and they ask for help and they talk about it, and it was really useful to me because I needed some help with something that I cooked, and there's lots of people talking about it on there, so that's brilliant. It's just reddit.com/r/ dessert person. That's what it is.
That's and fun.
It's great. Like there's lots of people making things like, so I feel like her big showpiece in here is the croque en bouche, yes. Right? She has a croque en bouche recipe and people making that. And then the thing on the front, which you definitely will have seen if you like cookbooks in any way, which I hope you do listening to the pod, is the blood orange upside down cake that's on the front. And gorgeous. People rave about that.
Yeah.
They love it.
I'd love to make that.
It's not the right time for... Yeah, it's not the right time for us, right, for blood oranges. No. But yeah, me too. I bet it's lovely.
So what did you make, my friend?
What did I make? So I made two things.
Mm-hmm. Same.
A simple thing and a harder thing. And I realised this after I made it. But I made the very first recipe in the book.
Oh, did you? So you're cooking your way through the book as well.
The spiced honey and rye cake.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. So it is, spiced honey and rye cake. It's a loaf.
Nice.
A loaf cake, which is nice. Yeah. I was like, you know, ease myself in. It's very easy. Difficulty one.
Great.
On the, on the thing. And she talks about it being an alternative for Rosh Hashanah, which is like Jewish New Year. Yes. And there's a lot of like honey cakes go around then, right? Because apples and honey are like the symbols for that time of year. But she talks about how she generally honey cake is really dry and she wants to combat that. So this is her honey cake. She said, I attempted to crack the honey cake code. So she swaps out some honey for sugar. And it's only got a little bit of rye flour,
okay.
Literally 33 grams.
Nice.
It's not like a rye bread at all. And then she puts oil in it. So it's dairy-free.
Ah, cool.
It's oil. So it's fun. So it's just, and it's a really easy recipe. Mm-hmm. It's just mix the dry ingredients and then mix the wet ingredients. So it's nor plain flour, rye flour, baking powder, diamond crystals, kosher salt, cinnamon, allspice, nutmeg, cloves. Ooh. I couldn't find ground cloves, so I just added more nutmeg. Sorry, Claire.
I never two see eggs. Ground cloves, actually. I've always had to, like, grind them myself.
Yeah, and I couldn't even... Well, it's Christmas, isn't it? I feel like they probably have sold out of cloves.
Oh, yeah, if true.
Anything. Sugar, lemon zest, honey, half a cup of honey. So still quite a lot. And then half a cup of vegetable or neutral oil. And then unsweetened applesauce or pear sauce, oh. Right? And so we've talked about applesauce before. Yeah. And how I don't really have it here, particularly like unsweetened and stuff. But I found a hack for you all. Ooh, in the UK and maybe Australia if you don't have. I came up with it myself.
Oh, love this.
And this is the so far the greatest thing I found about having a baby. No, it's not. Baby food.
Oh.
You can just get pouches of pureed apples, yes. And it's just apple.
Of course.
So I just grabbed, a couple of that. Like I found one, the Ella's Kitchen one, for example, just has apples and a little bit of lemon juice, like tiny bit of lemon juice. And I was like, fine, that'll do. And it worked perfectly because they can't add anything else to it.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Hey, that's a great hack.
That's my top hot tip.
Love that.
Yeah. And it's already pureed for you. Yeah.
Genius.
So there's your top tip of the day. And you literally mix the flour and all the spices, the salt and baking powder, and then add the mix the wet ingredients, add them, wazzy wazzy woo woo, mix them together, put them in the loaf tin, and then cook it for 50 to 60 minutes, and again until a toothpick comes out clean.
Nice.
And then you're supposed to serve it with like honey drizzled on top.
Nice.
It's lovely.
Is it?
I gave it away. Yeah, really nice. I gave it away to a friend, most of it. I just took the end off to have a little taste to check that it wasn't terrible. But it baked beautifully. Like, it was perfect. Oh. It sliced really nicely. And it made my whole house smell of honey, which was really nice.
Oh, lovely.
And it was just, it was easy to whip up together. I had a lot of the stuff in the house. A rye powder is obviously a tough one, but I'm sure you could make, it's only 33 grams. I'm sure you could take that out.
Yeah, she says, I think, I have it open here, and she says you can substitute it with spelt buckwheat or whole wheat flour for a slightly different flavour.
Oh, there you go.
Whole wheat would, it was probably easier to get. Do you think it's like enough to
but
have
it was
on its own, like as a slice, or would you like be tempted to put something on it, or like, would you... Oh, drizzle, apart from honey, right? Does she just say drizzle?
Yeah, she says honey. Definitely nice, like toasted. Mm. And you could add, butter even.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
Nice.
Something like that. Even like ice cream, it would probably be nice with, because it's got those like nice, that nice flavour profiles, like autumnal.
Yeah. Sounds quite Christmassy.
Nice vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. How nice.
Yeah, I really liked it. But yeah, it was really simple. I have no complaints about it at all. And I didn't hear anything about it from my friend. So that either means it was terrible or, no news is
good news.
Good news.
We're always low-key fearful that we've, like, poisoned somebody when we give the food away.
I know.
Great.
So, definitely would recommend, especially also if you celebrate Rosh Hashanah and you want like a honey cake to take somewhere. It felt easy and it wasn't dry at all. It was lovely.
Nice.
The second thing I made was a little bit harder. And boy was it a little bit harder. So it's only a 3 difficulty, but it was the honey tahini challah bread.
Oh, you're on a honey buzz, honey.
Yeah. That is, I'm on a honey Jewish thing.
I always have wanted to make challah, so this is very exciting to me.
Yeah, I've never made it before.
Is it like a braid?
It's 295 if you want to have a look.
Yes, I do. Did you have to braid?
Yes.
Oh, how fun.
I had to braid it.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. Tell me more.
So it makes 2 loaves of challah.
Okay.
this beautiful like sesame crusted, you'll see a picture of it. And she has a video for this on her website, on her YouTube, if you don't want to buy the book or and just want to have a look at it. So it's not a lot of it's not a lot of ingredients. It's yeast, honey, tahini, obviously. So half a cup of honey, half a cup of tahini, 3 egg yolks, a third of a cup of olive oil, 3 large eggs, 4.5 cups, 585 grams of bread flour, diamond crystal kosher salt, and sesame seeds for the top. So it's a big recipe. That's a lot of bread.
Yeah, a lot of flour. It's worth saying as well, because we've bitched about American measurements before, but she does have the ounces and grams for everything, which is great.
Yes.
But she doesn't extend that to oven temperatures, is the only thing that I will say.
No.
Claire?
Yes, that drives me crazy. You know, I'm forever asking my smart speaker, like, what's this in Celsius?
So it makes a lot.
Yes. So it makes a lot, but she says it's for 2 medium challahs. She does say that you could make it into 1 giant one, but it would just take longer to cook.
Yeah.
So you, again, it's not a difficult, like, dough to make. Mm-hmm. You, again, add the dry ingredients, which is just the flour and salt, and in my case yeast, because I can never find active dry yeast, so I just use instant.
It's hard.
And just add it to the dry ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So you then add all the wet ingredients, honey, tahini, egg yolks, 2 of the whole eggs, and water together. And then you kind of mix that in to make a well. She loves to make a well, doesn't she? in the dry ingredients.
Yeah, she does.
That's almost like make a well. Mix that together and then knead it. She suggests kneading it by hand because it's not a sticky dough.
Right.
But I
did it in the
have a KitchenAid, off it went to the KitchenAid until it's kind of smooth but still a bit tacky. She says 5 to 8 minutes in the thing. I don't think I needed it enough.
Right, yeah.
After I put it into rise, I went and watched the video and I felt like it didn't quite match what she was doing. But anyway, it's fine. We live and learn. Yeah. We move. So then you put it to rise 1 time in an oiled bowl.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
It didn't rise.
Oh no!
She says an hour and a half to 3 hours. I left it about 5 hours in total, it definitely rose, but it didn't rise a huge amount.
Was it cold?
And
maybe it was.
My kitchen was fairly cold because it's winter and it's cold.
Yeah.
And eventually, I moved it just for the last kind of hour or so. I moved it upstairs into my lounge where we had the heating on, and it did rise a bit more. But then I just kind of gave up and I was like, "Well, I need to cook it.
Yeah,
and I need to braid it and let it rise again."
Was your yeast okay?
But this is where I found
it's like sometimes it's like my yeast is a bit. God, this phrase is not going to sound good. I shouldn't use my yeast. My yeast is a bit old, and then it throws off the recipe a bit. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this is where I found the Reddit thread.
Okay.
That said that a lot of people had the same problem, that it didn't rise, and people were suggesting, or didn't rise in the short time that she gives, you need to leave it longer.
Okay.
So she does suggest that you can leave it overnight in the fridge.
Okay, yeah.
But some people were suggesting the honey Fs with the yeast.
Yes, and the yolks the eggs and stuff make it heavy, right? And the tahini makes it heavy. It's a lot of work for the yeast to be doing. It needs to graft.
Yeah, so I think if I'd had the time, I maybe would have left it overnight.
Yeah.
But again, we live and learn. So again, I watched the video and my risen dough after like 5 hours didn't look dissimilar to what she had.
Right.
It was still doing, like, she had this thing where she pushed a finger into it and it like bounced back but left a little mark, and I was like, okay, mine's doing that, we're just gonna go and do this. So then you you've got the big dough, you spin it into six equal sections, mm-hmm. and you roll each of those sections out, and that's your six braids for your two challahs.
Fine.
So you sprinkle them with flour, and then you go ahead and braid them. And braiding them was actually quite easy, because it's just, if you know how to do a plait, yeah. you just, so you make them thicker in the middle and thinner on the outside. So you just, you start from the middle and braid them both ways.
Nice.
And you leave them again to rise.
Okay.
I took them upstairs into the warm, and they did rise the second time quite quickly, which was good.
Yeah.
And then into the, you, and then you egg wash them, and into the oven they go.
Nice.
You egg wash them. You put as much sesame seeds as you want on the top, that create that lovely, like, you know, like when it bakes and kind of opens up, so it looks like you've got perfect little triangles of sesame seeds.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous. Into the oven for like 25 to 30 minutes, she says.
Okay.
Again, until the surfaces are shiny and deep golden brown. I think I overcooked mine slightly. Mm. They're a bit browner than maybe I would have wanted, and the outside seemed a bit crispier. So we live and learn. But all that being said, the flavour is absolutely lovely.
Really?
So this is in the savoury baking section. So it's not sweet.
Yeah.
In any kind of sense of the word, but you can kind of, it's, and because it's a bread, and this happens with bread, right, you can kind of talk to this a bit better, but if you add flavors to bread, they're all, it's always quite subtle, mm. because you're never, you're, you know, you buy chocolate sourdough or whatever, it never tastes like chocolate.
No.
It's just got that little hint of,
yeah.
it. But the tahini, you can, like, and obviously the sesame seeds on top and with the honey, it's just, it was great. It was really, really nice. Like, even though I think it was underproved and so it was a bit dense.
Yes.
But again, it's probably a bit of a denser bread.
Yeah.
But I would absolutely try it again. And it's obviously quite impressive looking.
Yeah.
And the flavours are lovely.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're making me
loved
want
it.
To make that
I
now.
Would... You should... I mean, you would smash it, of course, because you are better baker than I am, because you're, you know, highly trained. But yeah, I really like that, and it also, yeah, looks impressive. It makes two loaves, so I'm going to give one away.
Nice. Who's it going to? Who's the lucky person? You can't reveal.
Our lovely neighbors Nick and Jamie.
Are
going to get it.
We love Nick and Jamie. I've never met them, but they keep complimenting the podcast, and I get it back through Nick. So love those guys. Enjoy.
I hope you like it. Yeah, so absolutely loved it. Even though of those little ones, but I'm glad that there's a video on it, and I'm glad that,
yes.
The subreddit exists so I could find out about it.
I want to make it.
How about you? What did you cook?
I
baked
two things as well. So as I said, the first thing I did was kind of on the lower end of the matrix too. And actually...
Was this the thing I know about?
Well, you know about them because... So Vic was in the office this week and I had some of these left over. So I brought some to her, but I didn't tell her what they were. I was just like, these are for the podcast. Eat them and try and guess what they are. So have you guessed... Do you know which recipe it was?
No, and I'll be honest, I did have a quick look today just before we recorded, like, because you were like, I'll be honest, it's at the bottom section of the
matrix.
And I was looking at the matrix and I was like, I know a word that's in there because I was like, oh, these are this,
yeah.
word when you gave them to me, and you were like, yeah, that's the first word, but no, basically I don't know what they are.
They're the salted halva brownies. Blondies.
Oh.
Sorry, blondies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so they were, so she,
you know what,
she
it was, I was looking for the word tahini.
Yes, okay, yeah, because there is tahini in there too. I've spoken many times about my love for tahini and sesame and halva, and I was just very excited by these, and I had some halva in the cupboard, so I was like, I basically nearly had everything to make them, which was nice. I didn't expect, I thought that kind of her stuff would be a bit more complex and it wouldn't, I don't know why I thought that, I'm just a big old biased old gal, but they have flour, Diamond Crystal kosher salt. So this is when I subbed in the Malden, which I should have used table salt. So I feel like they were quite salty because of that. But I still like it. Baking powder, white chocolate, butter, tahini, light brown sugar, an egg and two egg yolks. Vanilla extract, the halva, so about half a cup, 113 grams, and then sesame seeds, which you sprinkle on top. I'm also like quite, I'm always quite intrigued by blondies as well, because I think that they should be like fudgy, kind of like a brownie. But sometimes you buy them out and they're just like, they feel just like a tray bake or like a cake or something.
Yeah, so they're just a cake.
Yeah, so I was intrigued. Hers look quite gooey, so I was intrigued to see what, if she was on my side. And she is. They're quite like, they are quite like moist and gooey in the middle. So yeah, it's very simple. Well, you line a baking tray with foil, which was my only kind of criticism. You butter the foil then, and then you pour the batter straight in on there. Ooh. But I thought the bottoms were slightly soggy, and I wondered if that was because of the foil rather than like parchment paper. But that was my only gripe with that.
Does she say why?
No, she just says foil. Yeah, that you do two layers so that it's easy to lift out. But yeah, maybe she says elsewhere in the book and I've missed it. But yeah, you make, it's similar. You mix your dry ingredients in one bowl. So flour, salt, baking powder. And then you melt white chocolate, butter and tahini together. Just until they're literally just melted and let that cool a little bit. And then you whisk.
How did you eat that?
How did I heat it?
How did you not just eat that?
Oh, I did. I tasted like a little bit and I was like, crack.
I was going to say, that sounds like your dream, like, sweet snack.
Yeah, we used to make a white chocolate and tahini babka in Honey & Co. And that was just, I just love those flavours together. They're so good. And then you whisk the brown sugar into that white chocolate mixture. And again, she's like guiding you throughout. She's like, it's going to look grainy and you might see the fat start to separate, but that's normal. Add in your egg yolks, egg, vanilla, and you whisk really vigorously until it kind of comes back together and it looks really thick and smooth and glossy. And then you fold in your flour and dry ingredients. And then you crumble in, you add in the crumbled halva. And you just kind of fold it gently so it doesn't break up too much. And then you just put the batter in the pan and bake it. You sprinkle the sesame seeds on top and some more salt. Well, here she says then top with flaky salt. So then I was like, oh, shit, then I've messed up here. Because that's not, she's not saying the Diamond Crystal kosher salt. But anyway. And then you bake it until they're kind of puffed up around 20 to 25 minutes. But she said they should still be like a little jiggly in the center. And she said they'll look slightly underdone, but they'll set as they cool. So try not to bake them for longer because that would dry them out. So that was, again, a great tip. So they felt really, I think I really like them. I like the texture. Obviously, I love those flavors. You've got like sesame in three forms there, tahini, halva, and the seeds. But yeah, I thought they were great. A nice, easy.
Yeah, I thought they were really nice. They're salty.
Yeah, but that was my
bad. You could definitely taste the salt.
I think that was my bad.
But, the flavours were really nice. And yeah, the texture was definitely not like a cake.
No, it's more like a brownie.
Yeah, loved it. I did see those actually, the recipe, and I was like, I wonder if Hannah will make those. And I didn't even make the connection because I was looking for the word tahini.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, salty. Oh, tahini.
Yeah.
When I tried them.
They're like my ideal, basically. If I'm, I bring them to a party or something. And like really.
What is their difficulty rating?
What is the difficulty rating? I think it was a one or something. I've lost the page now. Yeah, one. Very easy.
Nice.
Active time, 20 minutes. Love that little grid at the top. She says the season, the active time, total time, and the difficulty. That's great.
Where do you buy your halva from, usually? Just for anyone interested.
I actually had to get it in Waitrose. But I usually buy it in, like, little corner shops or, like...
Yeah,
you know,
like a little Turkish shop.
Yeah, little Turkish shops or whatever. Whenever I see it, I just pick it up. But yeah, you can't get that in Waitrose. Not
that's
a
good
corner
to know.
Shop or you know, a local one. But yeah, they were great. Love them a lot. Would make them again. I've still got some, actually. And then the second thing that I made was the classic birthday cake.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's fun.
It is. So this is like difficulty two. So I didn't really test myself here, but anyway. And yeah, okay, it was my friend Louise's, her birthday is Christmas Day, so we do an early birthday thing for her every year, and it was yesterday, so I baked.
Oh!
I was looking for the, right, so something in here to make, and this looks really fun, right, because it's like the chocolate frosting, she's got the sprinkles, and I think I hear a lot about, you know, from the US about, like, classic birthday cakes. Like every US blogger, baking blogger that I follow, they talk a lot about like yellow cake and classic birthday cake and stuff. So I was just interested to see what the fuss was about, I guess, because I tend
my favorite Glossier lip balm is the birthday cake one, just to say for anyone who
wants to know.
I know that before we started recording this, Hannah said that Claire Saffitz has got a Glossier profile thing on the Glossier website, and I was like, oh, I wonder what her favorite lip balm is.
I don't think she mentions, actually. So yeah,
I'm gonna put the coconut one on right now. But I've got sat next to me.
Hashtag ad.
I wish.
It's just very simple flavors. So it's a vanilla cake, essentially. So cake flour, baking powder. She says for cake flour, which has always kind of intrigued me, she says if you don't have or can't find cake flour, substitute an equal amount of all-purpose flour, but replace 1 tablespoon with 1 tablespoon of cornstarch per cup. So I tried to do that because I had plain flour, and I guess that's like all-purpose flour. So
yeah,
I did sub in the cornstarch just to see what it was like, and it was a nice sponge, actually. So cake flour, baking powder, diamond crystal kosher salt, baking soda, butter, sugar, neutral oil, not much of that, just 57 grams, egg yolks, 5 egg yolks and 2 eggs, a tablespoon of vanilla extract, buttermilk, and then that's everything for the cake, but she diverts you then to another page for the chocolate variation of the classic cream cheese frosting that she has.
Oh, yes, that's the one on the picture, right?
Yes. So yeah. It's again wet and dry, whisk together the flour, baking powder, salt, baking soda, and then you kind of beat the sugar, butter and oil until it's really light and fluffy, and then you add in the egg yolks and the whole eggs and the vanilla, and she's always telling you to stop and scrape down the sides, which is a great it's a really good, like, I forget to do that sometimes, so, and I remember people shouting that at me in kitchens, so I think it's a fair tip to give.
Scrape the bowl!
Stop and scrape the bowl! And then you kind of alternate adding in the flour and the buttermilk, so a third of the flour and half of the buttermilk, and so on, until it's all mixed together, and then you divide it amongst 3 pans, 8-inch cake pans, and she gives you, I love this, the grams of batter per pan. I fucking love that.
Wow.
Because I do that. Anyway, I would always try and weigh how much, if I'm doing like a layer cake, and I just love that she gave that to you. And it was perfect. It was like 482 grams of batter per pan, and that was it, exactly what I had. So just thought that was great.
That is amazing.
I think my oven's a piece of shit, to be honest, and it browns things too quickly. So the tops were quite brown quite quickly, but I just kind of kept moving them around. And she says, yeah, she tells you to know how, when they're done, that the tops are golden brown, that the toothpick comes out clean. And then you just let them cool, but she tells you to kind of cut off the tops where it's domed so that they're nice and, level. And then you stack and frost the cake. So you frost it, like I said, with that cream cheese frosting. But the chocolate variation. So that's really easy. You literally just beat butter and cream cheese together until it's really smooth. And then you add in some salt and the icing sugar, which is a lot. It's like a pound of icing sugar. And I should have sifted mine. I should have fucking sifted it. I've done that before. I'm so lazy. And I was just like, it'll be fine. And actually, the frosting was a little bit lumpy. But, you know, whatever. If you do this, please sift your icing sugar and don't be a lazy old
Wouldn't have sifted it because icing sugar is so thin anyway, like fine is the word, that you think, oh, it's probably fine.
And then you put in the vanilla seeds from a vanilla bean. And I splashed out and bought a vanilla, two vanilla beans. In case you doubt my love for you, Louise. And then you add in melted chocolate. So she says unsweetened chocolate, and I just got milk, but I shouldn't have. I probably should have used dark, whatever, but I was just feeling like a milk chocolate that day. Mm. And it makes loads of frosting. So she then kind of tells you, you know, put like half a cup on between each layer and then do like a crumb coat and put it back in the fridge for 15 minutes and then add more frosting, which I did. But it was, there was still loads left over. So maybe, I mean, I think there was plenty on the cake, but, and I'm always generous with icing, or I try to be. So I was like, shit, this is, I don't know, I've still got some left over. Maybe I'll try freeze it or something. But yeah, it's really fun. It was really fun to make, and everything worked out perfectly. There was no disasters. It went down well with the crowd that was there last night. But like for me, it's just like quite boring flavors. Like it's just not ever really gonna do it for me. It was fun to make, and it looked cute, but I don't know, vanilla sponge and like chocolate icing, and I'm glad I did it, and it you know, people liked it, but it's not interesting enough for me. I like the weird flavors, or like strong flavors, and it just wasn't kind of packing that punch for me. But you know, still, now I know what the classic American birthday cake's all about.
That's good, and you won't do it again.
Maybe not that one, no. What was...
She does have... So that's from a whole section, right, called, like, layer cakes and fancy desserts for your, like, birthday stuff.
Yeah.
The strawberry cornmeal layer cake.
Yes.
I was like, that sounds great. I mean, I can't eat strawberries, but I thought about you.
Yeah,
that's what... I was like, oh.
Bloody allergies. The preserved lemon meringue cake looked really fun.
Yes. There's so much good stuff. What sounds like good stuff in here.
The black sesame parry breast as well. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
So much. The sour cream and chive pull apart rolls. I thought I was going to make them actually, but I just never came back to them. Oh, so much.
Yes. So she has a whole like breads and savory baking bit. The miso buttermilk biscuits. Yeah. The
loaded cornbread.
Feta za'atar flatbread. Oof. Yes. Her focaccia looks great, but we make that too much in our lives. But a coffee cake, like so much good stuff. Like, so I might try the confetti cake.
Oh.
Because I love a confetti cake. I had one at my wedding. I think they're really fun. Yes. You don't get them a lot here because of our rules about food coloring, so you have to like buy your sprinkles in, smuggle them in.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
But I might make that for Marcus's birthday cake.
You should.
She has a brown butter cream cheese frosting, which is your fave from The Boy Who Bakes.
I didn't see
and
that.
I was like, yeah, that's great.
Yes, you should definitely make that, because I'm pretty sure, based on that birthday cake thing, that my experience, that it will just go really smoothly and it'll be nice. The hard thing is always, like, I never really like cutting the cake, cutting the individual sponges to make them all level, because it's like, it's waste, and I don't really like that.
It's a waste, yeah.
But it is an important step if you want it to look that really nice way.
Oh, do you know what I almost made as well, which I didn't in the end, obviously. Was the spiced persimmon cake, because it is persimmon season.
Yes.
And there's lots of them in the shops, and it just looks so fun. It's like, that's not a fruit that you see a lot in cakes.
Yes. That looks beautiful. I think she specifies the type of persimmon that you should use there, didn't she?
Oh, does she?
Yeah, that was another brand name on top of the brand of persimmon.
Such an interesting fruit. I don't use it very often, and I think the UK calls them Sharon fruit, right?
Oh, is that what we call Sharon fruit? Oh, she says Hachiya.
Yeah.
Hachiya persimmons. What are they?
Oh. I don't know.
Interesting. Oh, there's just so much I want to make. I swear, since we've been sitting talking about it, and I'm leafing through, I'm finding more and more that I want to make. Blackberry caramel tart.
Yeah, every time I look through it, I'm like, oh, that looks so great. And I was, as we know, quite skeptical about this one. Just in terms of, like, I thought it'd be hard. I am the person that says I'm not a baker.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to bake stuff. But this, I feel like it's got me.
It's got you.
It's got me by the gunas. And I would be very interested to see her second one.
Yes. And also, can we have a moment to appreciate that, you know, she's Bon Appetit, cool, you know, test kitchen person, but she's gone down the different path to Molly Baz and Alison Roman in terms of being really, like, yeah, trendy with her, you know, just like K-Baz, or no, K-Baz was the sausage, whatever the abbreviations were that Bolly Maz was using, or, you know, Alison Roman was a bit like meme-y in her language and stuff. This is just straight up good advice. No messing around.
She does what she says she's gonna do. Like, she teaches you how to bake, and it's, but there are some really interesting recipes in here. It's not, you know, I'm not bored.
No.
You know, there's a lot of good flavors, but not like, not so much where you're like, oh, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. For me, this is, we mentioned that this is like the third, is it the third baking book we've done this season? Ravneet, Nadia, this. Don't think there's any more.
Yeah.
For me, this would be my favorite. And
me too.
Yeah. And Ravneet was excellent in the kind of basics of a lot of a classic like French patisserie, I guess. But the interesting combinations and flavors weren't there for me in this, in that one, but they're definitely here. This, it's just,
yeah, for so sure.
Much. Oh, I love it. I really love it. It's gonna go down beside sweet Ottolenghi's, you know, pastry bible, yeah, to me.
And it's just, it is beautiful. Put it on your Christmas list,
yeah,
lads.
If anyone,
and I might put her next one, what's for dessert, on her Christmas list. Yes. My only worry about that, I might try and have a look at the recipe list, is that it's might be a lot of like desserts, like a lot of cream and custards and stuff, which I, as we know, I'm not really into. And there's not a lot of that in here, and not a lot of cheese and stuff,
yeah,
which
that's
is good,
true, actually,
for me, because that, but so I will have a look at the list and
check it twice,
you know, decide.
Gonna find out.
Yeah,
exactly. Where's your bells?
I'm cookbook Santa.
Where's your goddamn bells?
I'm on the floor here.
Oh yeah, come on.
Hold on, just hold on.
Bear with, caller. Great, thank you.
Santa's coming.
Should we rate?
Yeah, should we rate?
Let's.
Yes. Shall I just remind everyone about our rating system?
Yes, please, Victoria. I've never heard about this rating system before.
So every time that Hannah's just got, you know, got her dog, who's called Doug, for a little cuddle, and he looks so cute. Oh. He's not involved in the rating system.
No.
We're not rating out dogs. So,
we should, though.
Yes, we rate each book on 5 different criteria, and those criteria are the following: usability and accessibility.
That's one.
That's one. Ingredients used. That's two. Are they easy to find, etc.? Are they cheap?
Sorry.
Hi, Douglas. Aesthetics. How good does a book look?
How good does that look?
I love a picture.
Sorry, that's a Julia Fox reference for anyone who's listening.
Yeah. Uncut jazz.
Uncut jazz.
Veggie friendly. That speaks for itself. And inspirability. How inspired are we to cook from it? And each episode we change our rating system, that is, so it's relevant to the chef or book that we've been doing, and we choose something that is relevant. And so today, believe it or not, we are going to be rating out of Diamond Crystal kosher salt.
In case you didn't mention, it's everywhere.
Yeah, they really landed the good branding with this.
I hope they're giving you a kickback, Claire.
Yeah. So, Hannah.
Vicky Vic.
What do you rate?
I'm not going to mess around here, Vic. I'm giving it 5 out of 5.
Are you?
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it. I just think it's amazing. The ingredients weren't hard. There was nothing mad. There's some seasonal stuff. Like, yeah, maybe it's hard to find persimmons and stuff like that. But for the most part, it was very doable. I think everything's well explained.
And now you know about unsweetened applesauce.
Yeah.
If you can't get that where you live.
A whole new world for me.
You're fine.
People questioning why I'm roaming the baby aisle. And yeah, I'm just so inspired. I just think it's incredible. I think it's an excellent, excellent book. I really haven't been exposed to her that much before. But now I'm a big fan. I'm a big Claire fan.
Wow, 5 big old diamond crystals out of 5.
5 big old diamond crystal kosher salt out of 5 diamond crystal kosher salts. How many diamond crystal kosher salts are you giving out there?
We are not getting paid to say it a number of times.
Shut up, maybe if we keep saying it.
That's the ingredient that you can't get here, diamond crystal kosher salt. I am giving it 4.5.
Ooh.
So the only, I'm just taking off usability and accessibility.
Okay.
Simply because there are some really tough bits in here. And that's not to say that that's bad, because she calls them out, right? If you want to make croissants, they're fucking hard and they take days. And she calls that out. But, there is quite a lot of that, all this brilliant fun stuff right in that kind of 3 to 4 difficulty,
not
low time but quite high difficulty. So I would say it's not a beginner's baking book.
Fair.
You probably have to have some, and that's why I'm only taking off half. She guides you through it brilliantly, but you are still going to have some understanding of how things work and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry, my dog is barking if that happens in the background. I think that's fair, and probably why I love
Dougie.
Because there's that more challenging stuff, or more, because I've baked a lot, so I guess it's because it's interesting to me that there's new stuff in here, or stuff that kind of pushes it a bit. So yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Well, all in all, we loved it.
Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. Love you, Claire. Big fan now.
Love you, Claire.
I'm going to make your brown butter corn muffins and, 10 million other things in this. Oh, Doug.
So whilst Hannah calms doggy down, we are going to take a little Christmas and New Year break from recording new episodes of the podcast, just because things get crazy busy for both of us. And we don't want to let you down by, not being able to cook or whatever. So there won't be an episode in 2 weeks, but in the new year, we'll be back with more inspiring modern women.
Full of new 2023 hope. And New Year's resolutions and positivity. Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Cookie box is empty.
Yeah, reevaluating life. Where are you spending Christmas, Vic?
I'm going home to my parents, and we're actually going out for Christmas dinner, which is my first time ever having gone out for Christmas dinner, apart from when I, wasn't in the country. So that's fun.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a big fan of people going out for Christmas dinner and not labouring in the, because it always falls on one or two people's shoulders, right? And the rest of the family just gets to sit and watch TV or whatever. So big fan of going out.
Exactly. How about you?
I will be back in the motherland for a couple of weeks, spending time between my sister and my mum. So it should be nice. I'm looking forward to it. Lots of cooking.
Lovely.
But yeah, thank you all for listening.
We will and do have some Patreon minisodes coming up and in the past. So if you would like to hear our voices over your festive time, then please sign up to our Patreon, which you can find the link in the show notes. But also, if you are looking for some festive cookbook circle chat, we did an episode last year about Christmas cooking, and all that stuff still stands in terms of books and stuff we made and so I'll go and check that out. It'll be on our feed wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, maybe I'll make that cranberry focaccia after all from Nigel Slater's Chronicles.
So good.
Oh yeah, okay, I'm gonna do that. Okay, that's me
yeah, I feel like people would love it.
Yeah, it's a great one. Thank you for listening.
But thank you so much. We love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wait.
No, mine just sounds like a serial killer.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.